Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text that I have chosen for this morning's sermon is the epistle from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, which was read a few minutes ago. This past Thursday was a special day in the church. Do you know what it was? It was Ascension Day. Ascension Day is one of those church holidays that tends to go by unnoticed. Some churches have special services, but a lot don't, including Emmanuel. But Ascension Day is still an important day in the church. Ascension Day comes 40 days after Easter. And in between Easter and his ascension, Jesus appeared to hundreds of people. He proclaimed his word, he taught the people, and he brought people to faith. It was an incredible time. But now has come the time for Jesus to ascend back into heaven, to take his seat at the right hand of the Father. But what does this mean exactly? Does it mean that because Jesus has done everything that is necessary to save us, that now he's just kind of waiting until the end of time when he returns? Is Jesus still at work or not? Well, the truth is that even though he has ascended back into heaven, Jesus is still very much at work in this world and in his church. As we think about Christ's ministry and all the good that he did, all the love that he spoke, we can't help but wonder how great this world would be if Jesus hadn't ascended back into heaven. Can you imagine how wonderful it would be to see Jesus walking into hospitals and hugging children? Or if Jesus was on TV every night talking to us and encouraging us, it would be fantastic. This world, I think, would be completely different. But Jesus says it's actually the opposite. He tells his disciples, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." It doesn't sound good that Jesus leaves. We want him here. But what Jesus is saying is that the Holy Spirit is going to come, and he is going to continue the work of Jesus. And he is going to remind the disciples of what Jesus taught them. He is going to strengthen them in the face of opposition from religious and political enemies. And most of all, the Holy Spirit is going to lead the charge in sharing with the world all that Jesus has done for it. He is going to share with the world everything from Christ's birth to his death to his ascension to his second coming. So Jesus, as he prepares to leave, tells the disciples that he is still going to be working in this world. He says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will take what is mine and declare it to you." And sure enough, 10 days after Jesus ascends into heaven, the Holy Spirit descends from heaven upon the disciples. We'll talk about this more next Sunday when it's Pentecost. But today is still a good day, or is also a good day, to see Jesus is still at work. One of the ways that Jesus is still at work in this world is that you're sitting here today. If Jesus hadn't ascended into heaven and sent the Holy Spirit down from heaven, we wouldn't be here. We would be faithless. Well, we would have faith, but it wouldn't be in Christ. It would be in our jobs or our money or ourselves or what have you. We certainly wouldn't believe in Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit, though, who has come down and given you faith. He gives you faith so that you can look to God who provides for you all good things. Paul says in our epistle that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. Nobody can find God without the Holy Spirit. So Christ sends him to us. He sends him to us, and so we are brought to faith. We find the Holy Spirit when we read God's word and when we are reminded of everything that God has done for us. We see this Holy Spirit who comes down and shares with us this message that came down from the disciples all the way down to us. This word that comes to us, this Holy Spirit, guides us through this life. And as we go through this life, what Luther calls this veil of tears, we have the assurance that we are not alone, that Christ is still at work in us, and this gives us comfort and courage. To face a world that is full of hate and sin without God's help is a terrifying thought. But we know he is with us because the same helper that Jesus sent to the disciples, he sent to us. So we hear this good news, not that Jesus has forgiven us and died for us, although that is great news, but we also know that because he lived and died for us, we are not alone. We have this comfort that he is with us and that one day he will take us to the place that he has prepared for us. He has prepared for us a place with his body and blood. And just as we talked a couple weeks ago, this is a place that far surpasses our comprehension. Paul says that we will know the riches of his glorious inheritance. This is what waits for us. There are so many descriptions of Jesus in the Bible that it can be hard to pick a favorite. Jesus is described as the good shepherd. He's described as the vine, as the living water who quenches our thirst. He is pictured as the Savior who loves children. I'm partial to Jesus as the good shepherd. I like that one. One of the descriptions of Jesus, though, that I don't think we think very much about is Jesus as the ruler of all things. He may have gone back into heaven, but to ascend to the right hand of the Father is not a description of where he sits, his physical position, but it's symbolic of the power that he wields. This is why Paul says that he is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, that he is above every name that is named, not only in this age, but the age to come. And he put all things under his feet. There is nothing that has the upper hand on Christ. If he can defeat Satan and sin and death, there is nothing that can threaten his power. So as we watch this world go to hell in a handbasket, as we watch it all unravel, we can be sure that Jesus, he still has the power. We may not see it, But there is nothing going on that's a surprise to Christ. There's nothing that he cannot use and will not use for his glory. We get all bent out of shape about who our next president will be or what the future holds. I'm guilty of this. I'm scared senseless over what the future is for this country. But what I am forgetting, and what we often forget, is not the future, but who holds the future. It is Christ. It is the risen and ascended Jesus Christ. And no matter what happens, he is the ultimate power and authority. Satan seems to have this unbridled power, but he's on a leash, and he can only do so much. The ascended Lord, he is the one who is still very much in control. Jesus is in control. And one of the things he does is that he works in and through the church. He says in Acts to the disciples, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Jesus sent the disciples out to evangelize. And they did. Everywhere they went throughout the known world, they shared Christ's message. And we are saved through that same message. And now we share that message with others. Every single one of you knows somebody who doesn't believe in Christ, who doesn't know him, or claims to believe in him, but doesn't show it, doesn't really believe. It's up to you to tell them the good news, to share with them the love of Christ. Everyone needs to hear that message, right? Why would we not want people to know what we know? We do, right? So we share that message. And we could share that message because Jesus is working in this world through us. We have the best news in the world. We have the best helper in the world. All we have to do is speak. And this is what we do as part of the church. And as we are part of the church, we can have this assurance that Jesus is still protecting his church. I know sometimes we have doubts. We see how people revile Christianity, how they mock Christians. We hear about Christians being beheaded and crucified and burned alive. It's not easy for Christians anywhere. And in America, it's getting harder. But while Christians have suffered over the 2,000 years since Christ lived, we can be sure that the church has always stood. Jesus uses suffering Christians in a way that brings him glory. He strengthens them and empowers them to be faithful witnesses in the face of suffering and death. He draws suffering Christians to himself so that they trust only in him. These suffering Christians are examples to us so that we might show the same faith they have, so that we would pray for them and keep them in the forefront of our minds. And no matter what happens, Christ will continue to guide and protect his church. And as long as we preach his word correctly, as long as we baptize and commune the way God has commanded, he will work through us. Paul says that Jesus is head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Jesus will use his church. He will use his church to accomplish all that he wants it to accomplish. And until he comes again, Jesus keeps his power hidden in us. But when he returns, every inch of creation is going to see his power. In our first reading, the disciples are gawking up into heaven, and the two angels appear, and they say, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven, he will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Jesus isn't leaving for good. And just because he left doesn't mean he's not at work. He is at work. And while his power is hidden for now, on the day he returns, every knee will bend before him. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, because everyone will see his power. Until then, we trust that while this world is spinning out of control, Jesus is very much in control. He's in full control and nothing can threaten his power. He is at work. He is at work in us and through us, so that as we live our lives, we do so faithfully teaching about him. We teach about his life, his death, and we teach about his power, because one day we will all see him come again in glory. Amen. Now the peace which surpasses all understanding, keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Amen.